The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 4th, 1991 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 2, Verse 1 through 11, and continues with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 10, Verse 5.
Translation, while relating in synopsis from the last division of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in this chapter I shall describe the Lord's transcendental ecstasy, which appears like madness due to his separation from Krishna. Purport, in this second chapter, the activities of Lord Chaitanya that took place after the Lord accepted sannyas are generally described. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is specifically mentioned here as being Gaura, or of fair complexion. Krishna is generally known to be blackish, but when he is absorbed in the thought of the gopis, who are all of fair complexion, Krishna himself also becomes fair. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in particular felt separation from Krishna very deeply, exactly like a lover who is dejected in separation from the beloved. Such feelings, which were expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for nearly 12 years at the end of his pastimes, are described in brief in this second chapter of Madhya Lila. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Sesha de kohi rohilo prabhu dadasa vatsar Krishna rabhi yoga swarti hoya nirantar. During his last 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always manifested all the symptoms of ecstasy and separation from Krishna. Sri Radhikar Cheshta Jano Uttava Darshane Emato Dasa Prabhur Hoya Ratri Dine. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's state of mind, day and night, was practically identical to Radharani's state of mind when Uttava came to Vrindavana to see the gopis. Nirantara Hoya Prabhur Viraho Unamad Brahma Moya Chesta Svada Pralapa Moya Vad. The Lord constantly exhibited a state of mind reflecting the madness of separation. All his activities were based on forgetfulness, and his talks were always based on madness. Roma Kupe Raktut Gham Danta Sabahale Kaneanga Kinahaya Kaneanga Fule. Blood flowed from all the pores of his body, and all his teeth were loosened. At one moment his whole body became slender, and at another moment his whole body became fat. Gombhira bhitore ratre nahi nidra lava bhite mukha shira goshe khutha hoya sapha. The small room beyond the corridor is called the Gombira. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to stay in that room, but he did not sleep for a moment. All night he used to grind his mouth and head on the ground, and his face sustained injuries all over. Tindare kapat prabhu jahina bahire kabu singhadare pore kabu sindhunire. Although the three doors of the house were always closed, the Lord would nonetheless go out and sometimes would be found at Jagannath temple before the gate known as Singhadwara. Sometimes the Lord would fall flat into the sea. Chattaka parvata deki ghovardhana brahme dhaya chalyat ಭಕ್ತನಾಥ ಕುರಿಯಾ ಗ್ರಂಥನೆ. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would also run very fast across the sand hills, mistaking them to be Govardhan. As he ran, he would wail and cry loudly. Sometimes, because of the winds of the sea, sometimes the sand would form dunes. Such sand dunes are called Chakak Parvat. Instead of seeing these sand dunes simply as hills of sand, the Lord would take them to be Govardhan Hill. Sometimes he would run toward these dunes at high speed, crying very loudly, expressing the state of mind exhibited by Radharani. Thus, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and his pastimes. His state of mind brought him the atmosphere of Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill, and thus he enjoyed the transcendental bliss of separation and meeting. In the seventh island of Mayapur Dham, Mayapur Navadvip Dham, the island of Madhudrum Dweep, there is a place where Lord Ramachandra visited when he left Ayodhya before he went to Dandakaranya forest. So there is recorded in Navadvip Mahatyam that Sita Devi asked, "What is this beautiful place? I feel very much at home here." And Ramachandra explained to her that this was the place of his eternal pastimes, that he appears in the age of Kali. So in the end of these pastimes, you're going to go and live in the forest, and I'm going to be worshipping a golden form of you in Ayodhya, feeling great separation from you. And in that incarnation, in the Kali Yuga, I'm going to come, and you're also going to come as my consort, Vishnu Priya. And you're going to worship my golden form in your house, and I'm going to go in the forest. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas at the age of 24 and left the comforts of the family life, association of his consort Vishnu Priya, who had just was serving him in separation. He went into the forest. So Krishna reciprocates with his devotees, as he promised in Bhagavad Gita, Tejata Man Prabhajamte Tansa Daiva Bhajamya. So Sita, Ram had to banish Sita. But Sita actually was very happy living again in the forest. Ram was actually experiencing more separation, feeling very bad that his wife was there in the forest, what's happening. So he was feeling that type of concern and separation, worshipping Sita. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he wasn't thinking about his consort in that way. He was rather thinking forward of Krishna absorbing himself in the mood of Radharani. But Vishnu Priya was feeling great separation from Lord Chaitanya and concerned about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And she was worshipping deity of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is golden, so the deity is also golden in color. It's also interesting to note, Radharani spent a significant portion of her life absorbed in complete separation of Krishna and Vrindavan. And here Krishna has come as Lord Chaitanya. He's also feeling that separation of Krishna and Vrindavan. So Krishna has taken the same mood as Radharani. Of course, actually, this separation is considered to be the highest ecstasy of devotional service. Materially, the idea of separation, of being separated from a loved one, is the pits of frustration. But in a spiritual realm, everything is transcendental. Different contradictions become equal. That although the devotee is feeling separation from the Lord, because the Lord and His separation, Lord and His devotion, Lord and His remembrance is not different. So in that mood of separation of the Lord, the devotee is actually feeling spiritual ecstasy. That separation brings one very close to Krishna, brings one completely in connection with Krishna. Beautifully, His Holiness Srimadavana Maharaj sings the bhajans in the mood of separation. This was the mood of Narottam Das Thakur and other acharyas. Especially they sang many songs in the mood of separation. which actually melt the heart of the listener. So here Krishnadas Kaviraj is giving us a little vision, preview of Lord Chaitanya's last pastimes. He was very old. He was concerned he may die at any time and somehow these pastimes may be lost. So he is giving the pastimes in a synopsis, just referring to them, just so at least for posterity's sake they were referred to, not knowing if he would live long enough to finish the whole book. That's why here in the beginning of the second chapter he's just chronologically giving the pastimes of the Lord. Subsequently he'll give them in detail. Upabhonodhyana deki vrindhavanagyam tahajayanache ghayakone mochajan. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mistook the small parks of the city for Vrindavana. Sometimes he would go there, dance and chant, and sometimes fall unconscious in spiritual ecstasy. Interesting note that 500 years ago there were many small parks in Jagannath Puri. There's none left now. Very few parks are left. Only the deity temple parks are there. And Mayapur were trying to build this spiritual township. They want to have it many parks and many trees everywhere. So here there were small parks in Jagannath Puri, but now if you go, it's very hard to find any small park. They've constructed everything. So originally, it must be that Jagannath Puri was much more of a garden city than it is today. Kahanahi sanije bhaviradika se bhavoya prabhura sarire pochar. The extraordinary transformations of the body due to transcendental feelings would never have been possible for anyone but the Lord, in whose body all transformations will manifest. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The ecstatic transformations of the body as described in such literatures as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu are practically not seen in this material world. However, these symptoms were perfectly present in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These symptoms are indicative of Mahabhava, or the highest ecstasy. Sometimes sahajiyas artificially imitate these symptoms, but experienced devotees reject them immediately. The author admits herein that these symptoms are not to be found anywhere but in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Translation. A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not qualified, not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure master. Purport by His Divine Grace of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 20, kamaistaistaya hitagana prapadyante nyadevataha. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto demigods. A demigod cannot become master, for the real master is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods, to keep their prestigious positions, bestow upon their worshippers whatever benedictions the worshippers want. For example, once it was found that an asura took a benediction from Lord Shiva by which the asura would be able to kill someone simply by placing his hands on the person's head. Such benedictions are possible to receive from the demigods. If one worships the Supreme Personality of God, however, the Lord will never offer him such condemned benedictions. On the contrary, it is said in the Bhagavatam, 1088:8, Yasyaham anuginami harishye tadhanam sanai. If one is too materialistic but at the same time wants to be a servant of the Supreme Lord, the Lord, because of His supreme compassion for the devotee, takes away all his material opulences and obliges him to be a pure devotee of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaja distinguishes between the pure devotee and the pure master. Whereas unalloyed devotee with no material motives is the pure servant. One who has materialistic motivations cannot become a servant, and one who unnecessarily bestows benedictions upon the servant to keep his own prestigious position is not a real master. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to text 5 chapter 10 of the canto number 7, Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. The point is, a master is described here as Swami. Another meaning of Swami is also Pati. These words not only mean controller or master, but they also mean protector. That the servitor is protected by his master, so by a true master. Therefore, how can a master give something to his servitor, which will be the sudden destruction of the servitor? Just like a parent wouldn't give some razor blades to the little toddler. You play with these, even if the baby wants, oh please give me that straight edge razor, I want to play. Parent will not give because the baby will cut himself. So Krishna is the real master, the real master and protector of everyone. So some devotee wants something which is going to actually be destructive for the devotee, Krishna will not give it. Therefore, some people, they choose to worship devas or demigods because they don't ask, like no questions asked. Whatever you want, take it. That's appealing, especially to the demonic people who want things which they won't get from Krishna. They want to take away people's heads or to do some kind of horrible powers. There's a special possibility to get that from the different devas. But here, Prahlad, he's been offered by Narasingha that you can have whatever you want. So that implies that if Prahlad wants, he could have any material benediction. He has a blank check. Take the check, you fill in the amount, whatever you want, you can have it. But he's returning the check back to Narasingadeva that I don't want anything material. I'm simply your servitor. I simply want to serve you. I don't have any other desire. And it's not very good that you're tempting me with some material things, because by doing that, if someone takes a material sense gratification, that could be a big obstacle in their path of devotional service. So actually, Narasingadeva, obviously he knew that Prahlad was his unalloyed devotee and would not accept this temptation to take some material benediction. Later, after Prahlad refused any material benediction, then Lord Chaitanya ordered him, you had to engage in some material activities. You had to act as a king for all these demons. But you shouldn't do any sense gratification, you shouldn't do any fruitive activities. So Prahlad Maharaj, he remained as a king of the demons. But don't do any material activities. It's a contradiction in one sense. How can you be a king and not do any material activity? Because Prahlad Maharaj is being told to see everything as the Lord's energy. Do everything in devotional service to the Lord. That's the special characteristic. So although Prahlad is going to get unlimited wealth and opulence, he won't forget Krishna. He'll use everything in the service of Krishna. One has to be especially favored by the Lord to be able to get the benediction of so much material opulence and not be at all affected. See that many people become affected or corrupted because of a concentration of wealth. That's the basic difficulty. But Prahlad is being ordered by the Lord to accept this opulence. At the same time, the Lord is telling him that he has to remain always Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada, in his prayers, worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan, he said that I come here to Vrindavan and I'm looking back at my life. I have wife, I have children, I have relatives, society, friends. But where are they all now? What does it all mean now? Here I am in Vrindavan, in the holy dham of the Lord, taking shelter of Krishna. Now that I don't have any money, I don't have to worry about family and friends because they've all left me anyway. Once someone doesn't have any money, then nobody is really interested. Somebody wins the lottery, all kind of relatives come up out of the wall. Hey, Uncle Bill, I haven't seen you for a long time. Prabhupada said this was the causeless mercy of the Lord. He said that many of his material situations at a particular stage in his life fell apart. Although astrologically they weren't supposed to fall apart, they fell apart. And he took it to mean that it was the mercy of the Lord to just give that little last assistance in completely detaching. So to worship Lord Krishna, he may also take something away if he sees it's an obstacle in your path of spiritual life. So that's why Prahlad, he was surprised why the Lord is offering me material benediction. Actually, this is a test. It's actually showing the world where Prahlad is really at. Someone might think that, oh, Prahlad is just another devotee. So many devotees of God in America came in the paper this morning. There's 145 million people belong to different denominations and churches. It's gone up to 147 million. So here a lot of people belong to some organized religion. So many people are devoted to God. And in the whole world there's so many. But here the chapter is entitled, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. Because most devotees of the Lord are praying to the Lord to help them in some material sense, give some material blessing. But here, Prahlad is being personally offered by the Lord. You can have anything you want. And he's saying that I don't want anything in exchange for my service to you. You're my master, I'm your servant, that's all I need. Ramchandra offered Hanuman a blessing that he could have anything he wanted. But Hanuman didn't ask for anything. He just said that you're my master and I'm your servant, that's all that I want. But then Ram kept requesting that you take something. I have to give you something. Isn't there anything you want? So then finally Hanuman said that although you're my worshipable Lord, I feel very great affection for you. If I could just one time, like his son, embrace his father, if I could embrace you. So then Hanuman, he embraced Lord Ram. Ram embraced him. So these are devotees, they have no material motive. They are serving the Lord simply for the Lord's pleasure. Even if the Lord offers them anything material, they don't accept. Even if the Lord offers them mukti, liberation, if it doesn't include the devotional service of the Lord, they are not interested. When Lord Chaitanya, he offered Kolavecha Sridhar a benediction during the Mahaprakash pastime in Navadvip, this simple banana peddler was a great devotee of Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya offered him, you can have anything you want. What do you want? He said, I don't want anything. He said, I want to give you a benediction, you have to take something. Do you want to become a big king? You can have so many subjects and big treasury, everything. Head of state. I call it, just said, no, I don't want to be a king. I don't need that. So what do you want? You want to be, you want mystic power. You can get anima, prapti, anything you want you can have. You can become smaller than the smallest. Mohima, bigger than the biggest. Ashtashiddhi, all the eight mystic powers you can have. So you want those? Nikola was just said, no, I don't need those eight cities. So then, what do you want? All right, I'll give you liberation. No more birth and death. You can merge into the Brahma Jyoti, liberated. Nikola was just said, I don't want to merge into the Brahma Jyoti. I don't want the liberation. So what is it that you want? Just something you ask for me. So then he said, well, if I had to ask for something, there's one thing I wanted to, I could ask. Although I don't really want to ask anything, but if I had to ask, there's one thing I could ask. That you, as a child, you used to come to me and get bananas and vegetables from me. And we used to have so many different arguments over the price of the vegetables and everything. And I would always be remembering your smiling face. So if you think it's possible, then I would like to provide you in any incarnation you take all your vegetable needs, your bananas and vegetables. I'd like to be able to see that smiling face. If that's not possible, then please allow me to take birth in the family of your devotees so that at least I can engage in your devotional service and hear your holy name. So then Lord Chaitanya said, to call it, well, I'm going to give you a benediction. Even Brahma and Shiva, they are very eager to get this benediction. I'm going to give you the benediction. Pure Krishna Prema. When the devotees heard how the Lord was giving this highest benediction to this simple banana peddler, this simple devotee, they became overwhelmed and they just started, there was a tumultuous roar. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Gauranga ki, Hari 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 Bo. And the whole sky was just filled with the tumultuous sound of the devotees. They became so mad in appreciation of the Lord's mercy that some of them were just like, couldn't believe it. They were pulling on their hair and the hair is coming out of their head. Some people are just, they just went out of themselves, rolling in the ground in ecstasy. How the Lord is so merciful to His devotees. So, sometimes the Lord tests His devotee by offering different alternatives. Even when the gopis went to see Krishna when he played the flute, he said so many things, you go back, it's late, what are you doing here? So sometimes Krishna, he plays with the devotees in different ways, saying different things, so one has to be prepared for the worst. To be prepared that Krishna may test one in different ways. So devotees should be very clear. Actually, devotional service is goal-oriented. We are working for the goal of pure devotional service. And anything short of that, the devotee is not interested. The devotee already understands that there's no value to this temporary material world, there's no value to liberation. See, the Lord Himself is offering Prahlad. If you want anything, take it. Prahlad is refusing. He's saying it's not. Good servant won't take anything, doesn't serve because he wants to get something in return. A pure devotee doesn't work with any material motive, nor does a real master give something to his servitor which does not serve him. In other words, this material happiness is just an entanglement into laws of karma, which help to make us forget Krishna. So it's not very suitable for someone's well-being to engage in any kind of material activities, any fruitive activities. So before Krishna reveals Himself to us, before Krishna will give this the final, it's like the final exam. Is there anything you wanted? Would you like liberation or something? Just like kind of double checking. Before you get to that point, Maya will have already offered you everything. And you have to have rejected Maya's offer. It's not that Prahlad got to this point of seeing Narayan, seeing Nrsingadeva face to face by not having already passed so many other tests. His father was the richest man in the universe. He's already offered him, you can have the entire universe. It's all yours. Just accept me as God. Reject Krishna. I'll give you the whole universe. And Prahlad wasn't interested. He said, you get your power from Krishna. You're not independent. And that's what his father couldn't tolerate. His son believed in God. So Prahlad had already gone through so many different tests. Even his father gave them over to the programmers as the sons of Sukracharya to please deprogram this kid. Train him up to be a good materialist. But they were not able to change the ideas of Prahlad. And as part of the deprogramming attempt, they tortured Prahlad, trying to kill him in different ways. And when that failed, of course, they would then just try to eliminate him. But he was protected by Krishna. So in the very beginning stages, just like you had to go through first grade, second grade, third grade, you take the different tests leading up to primary school, leaving certificate and going into your secondary school, then finally your high school graduation, finally going to university, then bachelor's, then master's, PhD. Many different levels are there, and at each level, every year, there's so many examinations. Even there's smaller semester examinations, monthly examinations, quizzes, and so on. So we have to be prepared that Maya is going to be quizzing us. She's our school teacher for the first grades. She first of all offers us all types of allurements, trying to find out whether we have really realized that there's nothing other than Krishna, that there's no happiness in this material world. If we still accept some of the things she offers, then she gives us her special training course. It's called bait and kick. She lures us and then she kicks us. Then we realize firsthand that this material world is a place of suffering, dukkhalaya sasvatam. So our goal is Mahajana Janagata Supunta, to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajanas. Prahlad is one of the Mahajanas. He's the best of exalted devotees. We want to follow in his footsteps, to get up to the position where he is, to see the Lord face to face. He had already crossed so many exams. Similarly, we have to be determined that at every step in our devotional service, we don't compromise. That we keep devotion to Krishna, service to Krishna, as the only activity. Even Prahlad, later the Lord ordered him, you become a king of the demons, you live in that opulence, but you don't do any fruitive activities. It's an interesting point. How can you enjoy, be a king, be in opulence? And he says, the Lord says, don't do fruitive activities. Because everything that Prahlad does is consciously in the service of the Lord. The Lord ordered him to be the king, so okay, he did it as the Lord's order. Krishna ordered Arjuna to be a king, to fight a war, so he did it. Not because he wanted to be the king, but because Krishna wanted him to do it. Somebody has to do it, so Krishna wanted the devotee to do it. So many demons and so many materialistic people are rulers and they exploit the people. Why not have one dedicated devotee do it and he'll protect the citizens and guide them in the proper path of spiritual life to the extent that a head of state can do it. There are many examples. So we have to be prepared every day, every moment, every day, all the time for Maya to be giving her little quizzes to check. Are we still committed to simply serving Krishna? Sometimes he just does a random check. Flash quiz, surprise quiz. And see if we pass. If we get a few failure points, then she follows up on that and keeps trying with some more quizzes. So, the devotees, they have, sometimes you see devotees, they lose sight of what the goal is. Sometimes they make comments, well, look at that devotee is able to do so much Maya, why can't I do it? That devotee misses Mangal Arati, so what's the problem if I miss Mangal Arati? Or that devotee has got this facility, why can't I have that facility? He's enjoying these things, why can't I enjoy those things? God may be ordered to be the ruler. Someone like Prahlad may be ordered to be the ruler, you do this. He didn't want to. He was off. Do you want anything? You don't want anything. Krishna gives you something. We use it in Krishna's service. But the devotee doesn't want anything that anybody else has. If he's given something by Krishna's arrangement, he'll use it in Krishna's service. Otherwise, the devotee doesn't have any desire. Neither devotee is envious of anyone. Nirmatsarana, no envy, akamo, no desire for fruitive things. There may be other devotees who are not there, because we're trying to get devotees gradually up to the level of pure devotional service. So someone may not be on that level, but they are still doing some service. So we're trying to engage them and help them to become more purified in their service. If we try to gauge our devotional service simply by the other conditioned souls that we're working with, that will not be the ultimate test. That may be interesting for academic reasons. But the real objective is to gauge ourselves in comparison to these great devotees, these exalted devotees, to try to come up. Just like nowadays, there's an Olympic fever here in Atlanta because the 1996 the Olympics are going to be here. And somehow people are thinking always about sports in different parts of the world. Recently, there was some big competition, some athletic competition, and some world records were set. Because the different people who were running were the top runners in the 100-meter dash, whatever you call it. So they set a new world record. So in material things, there's always this competition, and one is trying to beat the other. But if they're running and the other people aren't running very fast, then they can win easily. Usually in those circumstances, the world records aren't broken. It's when everybody is running at their peak speed. Even the person at number two in the one race, he also broke the world record. But the person that held the record before broke his own record even more, because of the intense competition. So it's very good if we have a good association, if we want to pace ourselves with a competition, we should choose the best devotee that we know and try to serve that devotee and try to come up to that devotee's level of devotional service. We shouldn't look at the weakest devotee in the ashram and say, why can't I be like that? In the race, who says, looks at the person that comes in the end of the marathon, why couldn't I run like him? You look at the first and the person in the front. And in case you don't find anybody in the front, then look to Srila Prabhupada, look to the previous acharyas, look to the Mahajanas, look to the great devotees, and try to gauge yourself by following in their footsteps. Then you can get the mercy, like Prahlad, like Hanuman, like so many great devotees got. You can get the mercy. The Lord wants to give the mercy. He wants to take you into His arms. He wants to take you into His association. It's our defect. We're the worst enemy of ourselves. We don't want it. Instead of being overwhelmed in separation, how to be with Krishna, if we're still looking, well, that person has a VCR, why don't I have one? That person has a car, why can't I have one? That person has, you know, then we're just like on the Joneses, like in America, trying to beat the Joneses. We're just into material thoughts. You should see which devotee is getting up every day for Mangalarti. Prabhu, how do you do it? I would also be very regular in my devotional service. Which devotee is chanting their rounds very nicely? Which devotee is doing Sankirtan very enthusiastically, distributing Madhav Srila Prabhupada's books? Which devotee is always staying engaged in devotional service? Come, you know, what may, they're always enthusiastic and doing their devotional service. We should look for those devotees. Serve those devotees. Try to get the mercy of Krishna, get their good association. See, what is it, how they are able to do these things so nicely. We should go for the highest examples we have and try to emulate them, try to come up to that standard. Try to help them in their service to get the blessing, to also get their good quality. The material life, you want anyone better than you want to pull them down? Actually, they must have some other motive, they're no good. Anyone lower? Hey, these people, they're nothing. I'm much greater than they are. Anyone equal? The whole attitude in material life is like that. In spiritual life, we want to serve those who are more advanced. We want to help those who are less advanced. And we want to associate with those who are peers. We want to do whatever is pleasing to Krishna, whatever favorable to our devotional service. Anything other than that means that somehow we're compromising with Maya. So why we have the disciplic succession, why we have these stories of great devotees, is so that we always keep this is the acid test, this is the litmus test, this is the test of the devotional service. We have to gauge it ultimately according to these standards. This is what will keep Krishna consciousness pure for the next 10,000 years. Not like in some contemporary religions, where they just see what is going on in society. 50 years ago, everybody wore maxi skirts and blouses up to their neck, and nobody, 100 years ago, maybe, not 50, in the wrong time zone. And now everybody wears mini skirts and see-through blouses and whatnot, so now it's all right to do that because now the nuns can have higher skirts and because, you know, it's like you go by whatever the status of Maya is in the kingdom of Maya at this day and age. And this way, you know, pretty soon you got bingo in the churches and you got, you know, lotteries and everything, you know, drinking in the basement, dances in the church, auxiliary buildings, and all kinds of crazy things going on in the name of religion. to attract the people, because they don't have they're not gauging by any absolute parameter. We don't want to fall into that syndrome. We follow the Mahajanas, we follow the great devotees. We don't look at the lowest common denominator or what's the state of the weakest situation in the temple. We rather look to the best example. We try to move up to that. I'm doing 4 hours service a day. Why should I do 5 hours? The other devotee is only doing 3 hours. So I should also do 3 hours. Rather, we should think how I can do 24 hours. Because if I can do 24 hours of devotional service a day, then I won't be in this material world anymore. I won't be in forgetfulness of Krishna anymore. I'll be in connection with Krishna. Those who are doing less devotional service, they're less fortunate. Those who are doing more devotional service, they're more fortunate. One time, was it? Now a sannyasi went to Prabhupada in Bombay and said, Prabhupada, so much service, I can't deal. I mean, I have to do the construction, the temple president, the BBT, the GBC. I have to do so many different things. So what should I do, Srila Prabhupada? I don't know how to do everything. It's so much. Then Prabhupada said, okay, you can also take charge of the construction. And this way you'll be so busy that there'll be no time for Maya. And this is the objective. We should be so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, there's no chance for Maya to enter. No entry for Maya. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Hare. Any question or comments from? In Navadvip town, they have a deity which they claim was the deity that Vishnupriya worshipped. I don't know if it's authoritative or authentic. I don't know the real history of that deity. I didn't investigate, actually. They claim it's the original deity made from the original neem tree that Lord Chaitanya was born under. They used to charge 50 paisa to take a darshan. I don't know if it's the real deity. The deities obviously exist somewhere, but I didn't. That's what generally people say, that that's the deity, but I didn't. Since we stopped charging people to go in our temple, they took them out, you can go free. They don't charge anymore. Bhakti Siddhanta stopped the charging business. Any other questions? Maharajas? Comments? Sundar Maharaj? Good day for a walk.
Just a couple of short things on last night. You're also talking about liberation as a devotee, you don't sit under the liberation. But sometimes, you know, all these so called Christians and people come and they talk about salvation, you know. And so we say, we're not interested in salvation, but it's just God. So they just, you know, they can't understand it. They can't figure it out. I said, well, God, then you're going to burn God.
People have they're used to a God where you just kind of talk to God, tell God all your problems. It's like the kind of psychiatrist that you go to and just open up everything, and he just sits there and listens. And once in a while, he gives you whatever you want. But a God who actually interacts with you, who will talk back, who act with you as a person, they get frightened. They don't know. It's a new concept. That the Lord is actually a person. So that's where Lord Chaitanya, he has contributed this to the world, that he's revealing this mystery of God, mystery of the personality of God. Prabhupada brought that to the Western world. Therefore, what Prabhupada has contributed is partly historical. No parallel in the past thousands of years of a revelation like what Srila Prabhupada has brought here to the West. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Yes. Rupa Goswami was very rich. He gave 50% of his income to Krishna. Kulavesha Sridhar was also very poor. He gave 50% of his income to Krishna. They all were leading their lives according to the guidelines given by their gurus, by the scripture. And their purpose was that Krishna would be pleased. They did their material activities as a duty and did their devotional activities. They did their material activities as a duty, but in such a way that they would be used in their devotional life. So in this way, their activities are always connected with Krishna. There wasn't a dichotomy that they just did something that was unauthorized, just with the idea that, well, a little sense gratification doesn't matter. I can do a little bit, even though it's not Krishna conscious, I can do a little bit because I'm also doing a little bit of devotion. I can smoke a few joints once in a while, it's alright, or I could, you know, it's alright if I have a little illicit sex, because anyway I'm also chanting, so it's okay. For grihasthas there's rules, how to be a grihastha, how to have sex life, how to do business, how to do everything, there's some principle. And the devotee acts accordingly because his purpose is to please Krishna. So although some people may be rich, some may be poor, but they're all doing their activities with the purpose of pleasing Krishna. We have to see there's a categorical difference between doing your activities to please Krishna and being successful at it. A person may be very successful materially, may be very rich, but if he's still doing his activities with the purpose of pleasing Krishna and doesn't do things which are not conducive, you know, not authorized in Krishna consciousness, he can be a pure devotee, even though he's materially rich. Even one can be very poor, but if he thinks, well, let me do it. Just like you hear sometimes devotees say, well, I mean, there are devotees who are, you know, not having children, they're doing their rhythm system, or they're doing taking contraceptives, or they're doing different things because they want to enjoy. And they think, anyway, I'm chanting, I'm a devotee, it's all right. It's not possible to really practice only once in a month. To people doing all kinds of things. And they're living with it by just saying, I'm doing a little bhakti and a little Krishna. And in the end you see these people are put into complete anxiety. So we should be very clear that it's not pure devotional service. It's mixed devotional service. And it's not they're not properly situated. It's not a bona fide authorized path by the acharyas. They have to accept it as maya. You see, if we accept maya as maya, then we can start to cure it. If you think that your disease is your natural state of life, then you're not going to try to cure the disease. It's like people that have cancer, or tuberculosis, they keep coughing. And they're smoking all the time. Someone says, you know, you have a very bad cough. You ever check yourself? No, it's I've always had it. They should check a doctor and they find they got cancer because they just didn't take it serious because they're always coughing and they thought it was like my natural state of life. We get into doing maya, and because a little bit we're getting shelter from Krishna because we're doing some devotion, then we don't take it serious. But actually, our maya is gradually, the weeds are growing. What's happening is that we're allowing weeds to get watered like anything. And at one point, that weed can grow enough that it will smother our devotional creeper. And we've seen this even in, you know, so-called big devotees. that they've allowed the weeds to be watered. We have to be very careful when we're a gardener. You're a florist sometimes. I don't know what you're doing now, but when we're growing our flowers, we have to keep the unnecessary plants out of the flower patch. Otherwise, they can smother out the whole flower patch. And what's happening is that if we compromise with our pure devotional service, we're giving some of our energy to weeds. And maybe in the beginning the weeds start off small, but after a while they're going to grow and grow and grow, and eventually the weed can smother our actual devotional creeper. And this is what you see, so many devotees. In the beginning it was a little bhakti and a little bhukti. And after a while, the bhukti took over. And that's the difference between Kolavacha Sridhar and many of these Nityasiddha devotees who are all wealthy in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, is that although they are doing their material activity, they were not actually doing sense gratification. I mean, they were not doing unrelated sense gratification. They were dovetailing everything in Krishna's service. They ate Krishna prasadam. They did their material activity. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was a magistrate. But he would finish, he'd use his position in order to find the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. He'd spend the whole night writing Vaishnava songs and books, and he'd go out and preach, and he'd do so many different things. He had 13 children. You know, it was very obvious he wasn't practicing any contraceptives or anything. He was, you know, he had a lot of energy. He dovetailed in Krishna's service. He had a lot of children. And he engaged his children in Krishna's service. And he also realized Krishna, he realized his sarup, he realized everything. So one has to be completely honest with Krishna, completely straightforward. And you have to engage in your activities in the way authorized by the acharyas. As soon as you want to do something that's not authorized, then we are going to be in, we'll be watering weeds, we'll be putting our feet in two different boats, we're going to be put, eventually down the road, we're going to be in difficulty. So we shouldn't think that because some of Lord Chaitanya's devotees were rich, that they were not pure devotees. Many, a person can be rich and that's the same, only uses money for Krishna. He can maintain his family and do his business in a bona fide way and use, according to the proper way, he can use his money for Krishna. He can remain in the transcendental position. If he sees everything as Krishna's property, if we think it's mine, and this is for me and this is for Krishna, as soon as we start to divide, this is my Krishna conscious life and this is my Maya life, then we're in two boats. So our point is that Krishna has given us, okay, it's not possible to be a brahmachari or a sannyasi for everybody in Kali Yuga, it's not even recommended. So Krishna has given the way how you can practice devotional service and live in this material situation. But there's a very clear way how to do it. And if once we go, if you don't follow the way we practice the way it's prescribed, then we'll be watering weeds. So we should take, you have to minutely see how those. There's a difference between, you know, like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was completely detached from his material situation, completely sold out to Krishna. At the same time, he put on a facade of being a materialist. And someone like, Govardhan and Hiranya Mazumdar, who were the parents of Raghunath Das Goswami, who put on a facade of being devotees, but who had a lot of material attachments, and they didn't want their son to be a full-time devotee, they didn't want this, that they kept deprogramming him and kidnapping him. At the same time, they put on a show that they were pure devotees, sending him money, thinking, how will he be happy without material comfort? So they're sending him money, thinking that, you know, he has to have material comfort to be happy. So that's why Bhagavad Chaitanya said that they're Vaishnava pride, they're almost Vaishnavas. But they still have misconception. They think that unless you have all these material things, you can't be happy. They're attached to those things. Where Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he had all the opposite. He was completely detached. He had it, so he used it in Krishna's service, but he wasn't at all attached to it. In one second, he could just throw the whole thing away in ecstasy of Krishna, tear up his whole place. But because Krishna gave him this wealth, he didn't just throw it away and artificially be a market vairagi. He used it in Krishna's service, he built temples, he had the deity worship, Lakshmi Narayan temples, so many different things. But he actually wasn't attached to the opulence he had. He just used it, he had it, so he used it for Krishna's service. So there are Nityasiddha devotees who are very opulent. And there are other devotees who are mixed. And so Pundarik Vidyaniti had a love of Krishna, and Govardhan Hiranyamazunga didn't have that level of love of Krishna. They didn't have love of Krishna. They had some devotion. Maybe eventually by Lord Chaitanya's mercy they got love of Krishna. But at that point, they were still in the Manurat. They were blessed by Krishna. They were getting some results for their spiritual activity. But they didn't have the level of, they weren't Nitya Siddhas like the others. According to Lord Chaitanya's explanation. Hare Krishna.